Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, we are here 6 a.m. until 10 with a few hours shaved off today because we got all kinds of football action, which we'll tell you about in a minute. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And it is a blessed day when we can both hear each other, which is something for the past couple weeks we've had some issues doing, but we're together today. Everything's all good.
Absolutely.
And so,
right. From the start. Last week there was some difficulty. Last week there were difficulties from the start. We're both here.
I took the first hour off. And I'll be honest with you, it was kind of nice. but not today. Mr. Crenshaw, how was your week? Overall.
Overall a good week with just a lot of stuff going on, and you know, just filter through the stuff that's happening, and just look forward to this weekend. Get into football is happening. Basketball, the usual stuff, man. See who gets on and off the court, who's able to make it and who can't, and you know, those type things. And we got a lot of stuff to talk about this morning. Some comings and goings of people. The Falcons got their guy. But you know, you wanted to see it in a different order, at least I did. Anyway, the GM before the coach. Right. But we have the coach and the GM to follow. And, you know, that's what we'll govern ourselves accordingly. We'll see what happens. We know what this coach has been a part of in the past. Can he reproduce it here with material that's here? Since it looks like we're not looking like a complete roster purge or reboot, but a partial reboot is what it's looking like it's going to be for this team. So we'll see what happens with them, you know, and we'll watch for those things. Basketball, the Hawks, you know, at least Trae Young scoring again, man. For a minute this week, he couldn't throw it in the ocean. So they come back from the West Coast trip. They lost a game to COVID protocols. They didn't even get to play one of the three games on the West Coast trip. It's that kind of, you know, situation for sports right now. But you know, we'll soldier through it. And tomorrow, of course, to come back. I'm just happy that on King Holiday Monday, there's an NBA game in Atlanta.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because
you remember some years.
Y'all don't know that this has been like a pebble in Sam's shoe for the longest time. So that's why I'm giggling. But you're right.
We are the home of the NBA of the NBA's MLK, you know, game.
Right.
We started it here, and there've been some years when the Hawks were left off the schedule or were playing on the road somewhere.
Yeah.
And tomorrow on King Holiday Monday, the place where it started for the NBA will have a game going on. And the only sad thing is fans can't go. But, you know, we are playing a King Holiday game, as most of the things that honor Dr. King are going to be virtual this year.
Where's the other place that's relevant? There's you know, obviously we know what's going on Thanksgiving, but it doesn't necessarily have to be Dallas and Detroit. But they're always the traditional games. But remember, for years and years and years, the first game of the Major League Baseball series was always played. One of the teams was always the Cincinnati Reds.
Always, right? Cincinnati.
That was
always
the way.
Always Cincinnati.
This was one of those things as a kid that always perplexed me. Much like I had two things that I could never just fully understand. One was when I walked up to my parents when I had to spell a word. I didn't know how to spell it. And they say, go look it up. That would drive me crazy because how am I going to look it up if I don't know how to spell it? So that was one. The other one was Cincinnati always was designated as the first team in Major League Baseball. Okay, well, who did they play? You had to have two teams to start the league off. So as a child, I always struck. The first time I heard that, I was probably 12, and nobody could answer that for me. And then that was the other thing was about go spell, you know, how do you spell geography? Go look it up. So
yeah,
those are two things that always bother me. But I always wondered, is there another sporting event that takes place or should take place on a certain date because it's tied into something else, not only whether it's a person or an area that's done something or of note. And like you said, there should be no other place that the Atlanta Hawks should play on King Holiday than here at home, yeah. Have a home game.
Now, there's another league that's going to step up and play King Holiday, the NHL. Yeah. Tomorrow is going to have a series of games on King Holiday Monday. I think in Boston they're going to retire Willie O'Ree's jersey.
Yes.
For people who don't know, Willie O'Ree's the first black player in the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
And they're going to retire his jersey, I think, tomorrow. And so they're doing something that's very symbolic. But I'd never known the NHL to make a big deal about playing games on King Holiday, but they're doing that.
Are you surprised? We talked about this last year. The NHL, you would think, would not be a part of the social causes that took place in this country this past year. But we saw that, right?
Yeah.
We saw that. That this league, who, by the way, when they shut things down, they didn't even stay in the country. But still, they did what they had to do to finish things up. Again, when you take a second and pause and think about the NHL and the perception of it and then what they attached themselves to here throughout, not just the pandemic, but also the riots that went on and everything that was going on in this country. So they weren't just sitting on the sidelines. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We are just getting started on this day where we take a pause and remember the great one, the greatest, not the great one. That's right. Those are two different people. The great one is Jackie Gleason. The greatest is Ali. I get that right? Yeah. And we are going to get into probably story after story. We'll remind you about that podcast that's going on about the night of his return fight, which we've talked about before. But now people have taken that story and run with it, Sam. Movies coming out about it. There's a podcast on it. There was a story AJC did on it. So we will talk about that night. And if you don't know that story. Coming up later on in the show, 7 o'clock hour. Now, remember, we're only on until 8. Countdown to Kickoff follows us. We're going to talk about that, and then the people who will follow that show leading up to NFL action, playoff action later on today. But Gordon Robinson, y'all are going to meet the commish today.
The commish?
The commissioner. The commissioner's coming on. Going to give his comments. That's Gordon, right? Gordon used to work with us, and we used to see Gordon all the time. First, he was with us at 92.9 The Game. Then he went down to V103, and then he kind of bounced between both stations, you know, doing marketing and a lot of the Dutch's, you know, working with
just marketing, promoting and that type.
Yeah, promotion. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so he is now branched out, and he's doing a podcast, and he's got a it's called The Commissioner's Comments, and he covers pretty much everything. You're going to hear from him today. And then Ray Gleer, Sam, your buddy's going to join us. We haven't talked to Ray in a little bit.
Yep, he's going to join us from Ball Atlanta. Has some thoughts about the Falcons' choice for head coach. He was kind of ahead of the curve. He kind of saw this coming. The thing he wonders about now is who could be the GM. He has some thoughts on that, and he saw a rising star last night. He had a chance to go out and see a rising star. Actually, going to dip his toe a little bit into talk a little high school, too. He got to see one of the premier players in the nation play last night. He's going to talk about those things and more later on in the show.
I messed up. It's the commissioner's conversation. I always want to say comments, but it's the commissioner. Gordon is the commissioner, and his page he puts out weekly is the commissioner's conversation. So we're going to talk to Gordon. Maybe 6:40, maybe 7 o'clock. We're still working that out. You know, Sam, I was thinking about this as we were talking about Ali and this being his birthday, that can we agree upon, let's just say over the last 50 years, the three American sports figures who we have, like, 1, 2, 3, and 4. You can put them in whatever order. But would you say that arguably it's Ali, Jordan, Tiger, and LeBron? Is that fair? Who am I leaving out, if not those four?
Somewhere in there, you're leaving somebody out.
Well, I put LeBron in there for really the conversation for the longest time. It was just Tiger, Jordan, and Ali, the three greatest. So you got to. Well, actually, I'm only leaving LeBron in there for a different reason. But my point of bringing this up is this: it's strange how we celebrate those guys' birthdays like 1 month after another. December, you got Tiger and LeBron, obviously the same day, which is crazy there. Then January, you got Ali. Then you got February, you got Jordan. Just something that ran through my mind.
Okay.
One month after.
Yeah,
another.
One method or another, man.
Those yeah, man.
Just trot it out.
We also, and we're going to finish the show talking about, you know, some of the football that took place yesterday and what we have coming up today. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, it coming from a Bears fan, I hate it, but I just don't see nobody right now beating this dude. And that includes what's going on in Kansas City. I just don't see it. This guy is playing in a way, A, he doesn't get rattled. Now, I think that Kansas City can beat Green Bay, but I just think that this is an all-time great, and we've seen this before, much like what we're seeing in Brady down in Tampa Bay. I just don't think Brady's going to, you know, beat Green Bay if he gets out of a win today.
I don't think he beats the Saints.
Yeah, I was going to say, if he gets a win today. But my point for saying this is that I never played in the NFL, but we've heard this for decades from the all-time greats who say those last, you know, 6 or 7 years before they retired, the game had slowed down so much it was so fun for them to play, you know, when they were healthy. And that's what I see Aaron Rodgers. I see Aaron Rodgers as he's like when the coach comes in when you were like Pee Wee or Little League, whatever, Pop Warner. And then after practice, the coach goes into scrimmage a little bit and plays quarterback. And there's obviously a noticeable difference because he's bigger than everybody else. There just seems like there's a varsity and then a JV at times when Aaron Rodgers is on the field.
When you talk with Aaron Rodgers, you got to remember what lit the fuse under him this year.
Yep.
The fact that his team drafted a quarterback. And it was like the sign of, okay, this guy's coming in and your time here is done. And I think, you know, you talk about things that motivate people. And I think he's played with a little chip on his shoulder all season long. Instead of saying, okay, instead of going to the media and spouting off about they brought this guy in and what they're trying to do to me, they're trying to push me out. He just went out and played, man. This guy went out and played this year and said, you know what? You guys think I'm done. You guys want to push me out. You guys, in other words, they've lit the fire under me. And he's inspired. And, you know, he's like you said, he is having fun. But believe me, he's playing with a purpose.
He is, and I think what you just described is only part of it, Sam. I think the other part of it is he wanted to show that Mike McCarthy's system was stale. He, you know, you can't come in here and run Vince Lombardi's Green Bay Packers as opposed to what we're trying to do anymore. You can't do that. And so there was that element going on too. And then also Matt LaFleur had to show that he was worthy of taking that job. I mean, this is a storied program. And he was one of, you know, he came under McVay. Remember when McVay only had lunch with somebody? Next thing you know, that person got a coaching job, you know. So he is actually relishing in bringing his particular offense. And much like what Phil Jackson had to do, and I know I'm going back a whole bunch of years, but this is the most noticeable one. When any coach has to sell their star player on a system that's different and may make him a little bit uncomfortable in the beginning getting used to it, but once you do, it's going to pay off dividends that I can't express. And that was the case with Jordan. We're seeing it with other players, and I think this is what's going on right now with Aaron Rodgers. That other stuff too applies, but I think it was a perfect storm of stuff happening. But the other reason I brought this up is this dude can't do nothing wrong right now. And he's going to host Jeopardy. Did you see that?
Yeah. How about that?
There are those who cynically say this all happened after the departure of Danica Patrick. You draw your own conclusions there. We are going to talk about the end of this past college football season, get the thoughts from probably the biggest Georgia football fan in the vicinity. And Sam and I are going to go around that too. This is up next. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app.
Now, back to Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg here till 8 o'clock. Turn things over to countdown and kickoff. Big day of NFL playoff action. But we are just getting started. Going to talk about a number of things. And right off the rip, on Ollie's birthday, I don't know why I'm bringing this up and two have no connection, but Carrollton tops Newton 62-41 to improve to 15-1. I just saw that. I was looking on our website, Sam, and I know this is your wheelhouse, but I saw this basketball score, and it's the ladies. See, they should say that. Yeah. Carrollton extends its winning streak seven in a row. Didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Carrollton. They're going to be my team. When we say good morning, Georgia, what's up, Carrollton? They're going to be my store. They're going to be my city this morning.
All right. Carrollton High School, shout out to the Trojans.
There you go. Go get them. At some point, there's a couple things we have to get to. I don't know when, and we can actually hold this up, but I heard what Deion said this past week about the HBCU schools and how they go about doing their business. And you knew he was going to start talking.
The field is unbalanced. Well, we know that. That goes without saying. You know, Deion's going to get some checks.
Yes, he is.
So, I mean, that's what he's saying. And the reason why he spoke this week now, a reminder, we're about to get ready to play football. Yeah. It was the SWAC's media day. SWAC had their media day this week. Closer to home, the Kennesaw State players came back to campus this week. They will soon start practicing. Next month, college football season starts. For those who play in the spring season, it will happen.
Okay.
Now, how many people will be able to go and see it? We don't know.
Exactly.
But they will be playing. They will be playing football starting in a few weeks.
Also, we'll be talking about Arthur Smith, Falcons' new head coach, and at some point what Major League Baseball did this past week, which I think is worthy of a conversation. But at some point, Ken, whenever you're ready to jump in, but Sam and I are going to just sort of recap and give our thoughts on the college football season that ended, and surprisingly that because we don't normally say this, but Nick Saban made his adjustments. We talked about that earlier as far as how coaches make adjustments. And, you know, you talk about his defense for so many years. He got upset about the way offense was going. He voiced it a few years back, and he has changed course. And, man, this guy just came out, like you said, all football season long, at least when they were playing, that you were watching only half of an Alabama game because you knew it was over with by halftime.
And it happened again Monday night. You were hoping it wouldn't, but I'm watching this game, and about midway through the second quarter, I'm like, uh-oh. You know, at first it looked like a good game. It's like, man, this is going to be good.
Right.
And, we got midway the second quarter, and things started going a certain way, and I'm like, okay, we see where this is going. And sure enough, you know, that's what happened. I mean, tremendous effort, tremendous job, and they finish up the season, and we think about it. It was the matchup that I think a lot of people were pointing to. A lot of the preseason people kind of wanted in the preseason. If it wasn't Clemson, this was the matchup people wanted to see. Alabama and Ohio State, Big Ten backed their way into it as far as the schedule goes. But going back even to last weekend and all the awards that came out, and Devontae Smith, what about this guy?
Really?
This is what
we're talking about.
You know, and that's what a game he had. After getting the Heisman Trophy, just remarkable.
But before Tua, how many quarterbacks were coming out of Alabama that were supposed to make noise in the NFL? It was always his defense. And then, like I said, he changed course, and for whatever reason, these last few years, it's like his offense and the players there are top tier. I mean, Julio Jones I get that, but I'm saying the quarterback
the
is really.
He had an old line, though. He had the old lines that he had in the past were really geared more for the run. This one could do both. Mm-hmm. They could run and pass block. Nobody ever touched this guy. Man, Mac Jones was back there, you know, making martinis if he wanted to. You know, he had all kind of time.
Well, he needs to share.
Whatever. You know what I mean?
He needs to share more. That's all I'm saying.
but he's got all that protection back there. And so for that reason, that's why there's a question mark about him going forward, because you don't know what the guy does when he's under fire. You know, we see him in a nice, cush environment. He's going to go to a team. And, you know, because of where he may get drafted, he may not go to a totally, totally bad team. You know, he's not expected to be one of your top quarterbacks that goes. Those guys go to the teams where they have to run for their lives.
Right.
You know, so he may end up in a decent slot as a backup and able to come in and grow and do some good things at the next level. But he's certainly set himself up very well by executing the season that he's had over there. But once again, that's the talent. And when you go out and recruit, and the last thing you ask a kid before you leave their house, when you can go back to their houses, you couldn't go this year for recruiting, son, do you want to play at a national championship game? And there are only a handful of coaches that can ask that question. Only a handful. And that's why one of the reasons I think you see so much the transfer portal, the door is like, it's like the front door at Bloomingdale's, man. Guys who've gone to schools and realized, hey, we're not going to play in that big game. Let me move somewhere else and play. Or guys who are saying, let me move somewhere else and you know, go and try to play in a league. I mean, it's really been crazy to watch that the last few days.
I you know, personally, I don't mind all that because I'm all about what's happening next and it's how people are going about doing their business. But every time this sort of conversation comes up, I think about, I wish we could pull back that generation before us that thought that this sort of football or this sort of baseball, whatever the changes may be, is detrimental to the sport. And it's just not the way it should be done. And the adjustments that all sports have made over this past, like, couple, just the way you've watched all the sports over the last decade or so has been interesting to watch, because normally you don't get to see how the sausage is made, but because there's so much information out there, because we can see, and look at, you're talking about guys transferring, this is the same thing we see on the pro level, it's the nature of the beast, excuse me, and the high school level. You know, everybody's trying to get to the best team, to the best position. I mean, as you like to say, mom and daddies are actually divorcing or moving to make sure their kids are in the best situation to get to that next level and then the next level. And so they're utilizing all these little openings that are in the rules, and some of the rules have been stepped up to allow them to continue doing that. I just, like I said, I find it totally interesting. We got some more stuff I want to talk about. Before we go further, though, again, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I want to invite Ken in if he's got a second, because I know he's also producing.
Yep.
And get Ken to
Morning,
talk.
Morning, Ken. Morning, Ken. Morning.
Ken Roundtree. He's been, man, first of all, we miss you. It's been a few weeks since we had you on.
Yeah, and this is like the last week in forever, too. I'm with you, so.
Well, what's up with that? You owe somebody some money?
I don't. He asked the boss, the man. I don't know.
Okay. I know about that. The ever-changing producer chair at 92.9 The Game. All right, man, listen, we're giving you the floor, and especially now since it's your last time here for a minute. Recap this Georgia season and what?
Well, just the season in general.
Yeah.
Because it was a season that almost wasn't.
That's true. But also, what do you guys have to do to get past that juggernaut over there in Tuscaloosa?
Well, as far as the season, I think it's amazing that they got the season in with all the protocols and stuff. I'm glad a 13-win team won the national championship instead of an 8-win team. I think that would have been a bunch of controversy if Ohio State would have snuck past Bama. But, hey, you know, it was only the 8th game of the season, so they got some room to improve, I guess.
Okay. All right. Well, how do you feel about the program moving forward, man?
I feel good about Georgia. I think it's a strange year because – you start off in the summer, you expect Jamie Newman to be the starter. They bring in JT Daniels as pretty much insurance because they didn't have a good quarterback room. And then all of a sudden, Jamie Newman opts out. JT Daniels, as we learned toward the end of the season, wasn't ready, even though he was quote-unquote cleared. And now you have a quarterback room with a guy you didn't expect to play at all, Stetson Bennett, DeJuan Mathis, and Carson Beck and a few walk-ons, and you're like, oh, crap, what do we do? Well, you play Stetson Bennett after DeJuan Mathis proved he couldn't play in the first game, and you felt more comfortable Stetson Bennett. He was a good story for a couple of games, but like I said from the beginning, he wasn't the guy that was going to get you to the SEC championship, and he proved that. And then when JT Daniels finally stepped in and was healthy, I think he showed everybody what this offense could be under Todd Monken, which is a 300-yard passing game performance in nearly every game he played. And, oh, you know, he went 4-0 as a starter. So let him have offseason under his belt with Todd Monken and everybody else and all these other wide receivers coming back. Defensive, you know, front stays in place. Got to replace some guys on the back end, but that's like every year. And, by the way, Alabama is going to lose a whole lot of people now. Can they reload like they've always have? Well, that's the question. Is Bryce Young really going to be that dude that can carry him, and can some of those wide receivers that didn't play this year a lot because, you know, that room was full, now that some of them are leaving, can they step up and carry that torch? We'll see. I don't know. The West, I think the West, SEC West, is going to be interesting this next year because of Ole Miss having another year with Lane Kiffin. Jimbo, another year. Kellen Mond's coming back. Now, yeah, you got a guy in Sam Pittman who won a couple of games at Arkansas for the first time in forever. So it's going to be an interesting year next year. But I like the way Georgia has set themselves up.
All right. Just curious, man. Again, I just wonder if it's going to be Nick Saban's conference for the foreseeable future.
I think it next year could be the year you don't see Alabama dominating like they used to.
All right. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Still deciding whether or not we're going to have a guest next segment. We're working on that, or we're going to open things up and let Mr. Crenshaw bring you up to date on what's going on locally, as he normally does top of the 7 o'clock hour. But because we're only here till 8, we're sort of jockeying guests around to make sure everybody fits and comfortable, and hopefully folks will wake up and be a part of the show. Gordon Robinson is going to join us, Ray Galera later on in the show. But while we're continuing here in college football, Sam, real quick, and wanted to get your thoughts on anything other than what Ken just said in recapping this season.
Yes, that they made it through. And, you know, there's some conferences who did a great job of it. Some who made the most of it. We talked about how the Sun Belt was that conference, that put their product out there, and people showed that they could, you know, have some games, and on certain Saturdays they could go out there and go toe to toe with guys from some of the big conferences. That's going to be great for recruiting. And that's the other part. We have another second signing day that's coming up here in a few weeks, February 3rd. We had the early signing period. Since the early signing period in February 3rd, it's like the world has changed. You know, coaching jobs have come open. People have transferred. People have decided to opt out and go pro. Different things have happened. So there are more opportunities. Schools that didn't have scholarships to offer in December will have a scholarship or two or more to offer in February. That's a big game changer, and just different this year because the way they've had to do recruiting. So we watch and see what kind of impact that has on college football going forward. But I just think that people wanted to have a season. It wasn't the usual. You couldn't go and tailgate like you love to do. Alabama came to town, but they didn't have as many people fill up the hotel rooms as the city of Atlanta would like to have. But all in all, we got the season in. And we got a few dollars to fill the potholes. Temp Street is still a little bumpy over there.
Greg, started again.
But I told you why. But I told you why it's bumpy. All that heavy machinery going out to West Midtown. But, we got the season in.
Yeah, we got it in. We have never seen a more blatant business decision by a league than what we saw in college football this past year. It was an obvious money grab. They did it. And God bless them, you know. And, oh, by the way, and they opened the pearly gates for, well, not pearly gates, but they opened the gates for Ohio State, too. That was also a business decision. They went right in the face of everybody. But you know what? That's fine. Long as at the end of this season we didn't lose anybody and the people that caught the virus are doing better now, we'll monitor the long-term effects. But this, I mean, listen, we go through this season talking, this segment talking about college football and the recap of the season. Not once have we mentioned the Pac-12. Not once have we mentioned the Big 12. I'm just saying it was all about the SEC, ACC, and Big 10.
You know what, though? If they had started in September, I don't know if we would have mentioned the Pac-12. That's just what the Pac-12 is right now.
You had two conferences that started late, and one had a yellow brick road open up for them to get to the national championship game. And as Ken said, seven games, getting into that. But it is what it was. Like I said, it was a blatant business decision, and we're past it now. So, anyway, we are going to talk locally up next. Mr. Crenshaw got a lot of updates on what's going on. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Check us out on the radio.com app.
Now more of Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure you check us out on the radio.com app. Wherever you are, wherever you're heading around the city, be careful out there. But if you have to go out and move around, you can take us with you. All the shows. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we are going to get ready for a full day of football action. But we're going to start off talking about, well, a potpourri of things. Gordon Robinson, the commissioner, is going to join us. Then Ray Gleer from Ball Atlanta is going to join us. Sam and I are going to talk about a little bit of yesterday's games and then get you ready for today's matchup. And we are followed, because we're only on until 8 o'clock today, by Countdown to Kickoff. Nick Costos will be hosting that show. Then we have Nick Cale. Our own Nick Cale is going to go from 10 until 2 and walk you right up until the game action pregame, right after 2 o'clock, Cleveland, Kansas City being the first game, and then the Bucks and the Saints, the late game today. Mr. Crenshaw.
Yes.
What have we missed? What should we know about? What's going on locally? Just tell us. I had something that just popped up in front of me, so forgive me. I was a little taken aback there for a minute. You know how you're looking at your computer and something pops up and you make notes to yourself? And so I was thinking that maybe there's a way I can tie this in, but I couldn't. And so I got a little verklempt. I'll be honest with you.
What?
And then I was stealing some bad Yiddish. That's what I was trying to do. And it didn't come out properly. I was verklempt. Remember that?
I'll say.
Yeah. I got it. As I was introducing you, something popped up, and then something else popped up, and we haven't even talked about, because, you know, for months, we would start the show, or in the 6 o'clock hour, talk about the people we lost this past week, and that was the case again this week. I don't want to harp on it, but the name that popped up while I was introducing you and what you were going to talk about was Siegfried, of Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah.
And that's a significant, you know, name in this country. They are the last. Actually, I think Wayne Newton is probably the last of that other Las Vegas that used to be.
Just had that long standing engagement. Well, permanent
right.
engagement or residency.
They were at the Mirage, I think, something like that forever. Siegfried and Roy, yeah. got attacked a number of years ago. So and I believe he passed. I don't know how long ago it was, but Siegfried, when you talked Vegas, you know, there was the singer and the comedians, and the animal act was Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah, that people wanted to go and see. That was, if you can get a ticket, you wanted to catch it.
Exactly. Yeah, Wayne Newton's probably the last one there of that Hollywood. But anyway, that's not why you called.
Call. Wow. Well, you alluded to it earlier that Carrollton was a winner over Newton yesterday. They were playing an event called the Quick Cut Classic, and this was taking place out at Archer High School, and it was a girls' event. Like we said, King Holiday Weekend is always a big weekend for high school basketball, and salute to the teams that all played out there. Marietta, Decula, Rockmart, Loganville, Rockdale, Grayson, West Forsyth, and Archer. And of course, we met Newton and Carrollton. The girls were playing because the guys had some problems with some positive tests, and so they weren't able to play their game this past Friday night, because that's where I was going to go. I was going to go this past Friday night. I was supposed to play at Pace Academy, and they ended up not being able to play that game. Pace is having a tremendous season, basketball season over there, and so they got a game coming up tomorrow evening at Milton, which I don't know how many people they're going to allow in the place. I don't know how many folks they're letting in up there, but you know if they could fill it up, they would fill it up. But I know with some of the restrictions, they won't be able to do that. But that's one of the big games. Last week, Cal Sandy was with us, and he reminded us about an MLK basketball classic going on down at Fayette County High School. And these games are coming up tomorrow, boys and girls games. If you want to catch some high school basketball action in the area, you got Eagles Landing Christian against Kale girls at 11. The 1 o'clock start is Luella against Parkview boys. The Luella girls take on Griffin at 3. A great girls game at 5 o'clock, Forest Park and Westlake. Should be a really good game. And then Langston Hughes boys against Fayette County boys at 7 o'clock. That's two sessions five games at Fayette County High School down in Fayetteville. Just some of the action going on tomorrow for MLK Holiday. We always have that. Now, mm-hmm. I've got some college notes, and I talked with Ken about this. People have been wondering when Georgia was going to win a conference game. They were 7-0 going into SEC play. Once they got to the SEC play, it's like they hit a wall. Boop. They lost one. They lost two. They lost three. They won one yesterday. They beat Ole Miss 78-74. They're now 8-4 on the season. So let's see if that comes along. They finally got the conference win. And that's all, like I said, with keeping healthy and having a game scheduled. Georgia Tech, meanwhile, lost another game yesterday. Not lost it on the court, lost it to COVID protocols. They were supposed to play NC State yesterday. That game postponed. Georgia Tech hadn't played in about 3 weeks here. So, you know, see when they get them, can get them back on the floor and get them back to play a game. I believe they have Clemson next on the schedule on Wednesday for Georgia Tech. Georgia State was a winner yesterday, 71-68. They beat Coastal Carolina. Odd thing here, the way the Sun Belts are working their schedule, they've been waiting to play their games on Friday and Saturdays. Wherever they're going to play, you go to one place, you play the same team back-to-back days. Well, Coastal Carolina couldn't play Friday, but they could play yesterday. Now, they got a second game they need to play with these guys. I don't think we could play it today, but they're not going to play it today. Coastal went back home after just playing one game. How they worked it out, I don't know. It sounds like February is going to be real crowded because people are going to be scrambling to make up games. And if you only want to play all your games on Friday and Saturday, you know, you kind of limit yourself. So we'll see what happens going forward with them. And so congrats to them, Coach Rob Lanier and crew. They're 8-2 on the year. Corey Allen with 15 points in that game. A women's note, women's college basketball note. Georgia beat Tennessee in Knoxville this week, 67-66. Greg, it is the first time the Georgia women have beaten the Lady Vols in Knoxville since 1996.
They get a golf clap.
That's a lot of Pat Summitt back then. That
yeah,
just,
well, that's
you,
true.
You come through the door and assume the position.
Well, hang on a second. Now, what? Thanks for thanks, golly.
What?
Just you dialing up that vision this time of morning.
Well, I'm just saying, come through the door. You know what you're gonna get when you were playing the Lady Vols back in them years. Man,
I understand, but the description. You talk about me. I'm glad that you do stuff like that, but you do it once in a while. You dial up a vision that makes everybody turn their head and make that Scooby Doo noise like.
That's not a vision.
But see, I always do it. I'm always going down the sewer hole. But
I say that all the time. You get off the bus, you know what time it is.
It was the assume the position.
Yeah, well, that's the say that anytime. I say with football, baseball, but get off the bus, assume you know what's about to happen.
I'm just saying, it's Sunday morning, son. It's holiday. Go ahead. I'm shut up.
No. But that's part of what's up. Some local things people to watch for. Like I said, Big Bear basketball tomorrow. Of course, our Atlanta Hawks, who had a miserable West Coast trip, will be back and they'll be playing tomorrow as part of King Holiday Monday. Of course, we'll have the game here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, right?
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9 The Game on this Muhammad Ali's birthday, anniversary of his birth, and we always take time and just think about him. I mean, listen, back to back. Got the King Holiday tomorrow, but Ali and his contribution is worthy of taking a second and pause. And today, like I said, is his birthday. But also, Chili Davis shared a birthday with Ali.
Wow.
Jeremy Roenick shared a birthday with Ali. So talk about a few more of these that came across. And it's also Dwayne Wade's birthday, too.
Really?
Dwayne Wade. Listen, I thought about this past week. Give me your thoughts on this.
Yeah.
Because we have been hearing the conversation about whoever wins the championship in 2020, there should be an asterisk next to their championship win. And not because of the negative, but because of the positive. Now, this asterisk thing, we've been debating that going back to when the first time folks heard about it. And I think the commissioner was Ford Frick, who wanted to put the asterisk next to Roger Maris getting 61 home runs, correct? I think that was the first time it really became prevalent within the sports world and people were talking about it and whether he should get that asterisk there because his 62 home runs came in a 162-game season where Babe Ruth was in 154. Okay, well, that's where it started. But then everything that happened in 2020, people were saying, well, no, this asterisk should mean that it was because of what they went through and how hard it was to achieve that championship. Lakers, Dodgers, so on and so forth. And my thing is, why an asterisk? If you're going to note something that shouldn't be looked at initially as something negative, why don't we just come up with something else, man, and just put a star? So if you're going to go in the record books, you see a star, you know it's there for a positive reason. You see an asterisk, you know it's there for maybe something else. Maybe you see an asterisk next to, say, Roger Clemens' strikeout total. And then you see that asterisk. And you go, oh, we got to go check out why this is here. And then you hear about the whole steroids thing. I'm not saying he should have one, but I'm saying have one for positive, one for negative. And if it's not a star, maybe something else. But anyway, that's what I was thinking about this week. You have any thoughts one way or the other?
Yeah. There's always a thought of what to do with people who, in the minds of a lot of people, have done some things under some means or things that are out of the norm, so to speak. Right. And that's what we're talking about with this past season. I just think because of the maybe you do put a star because they did go out and earn it. People may say, well, baseball was a shorter season than it needed to be, than we usually would get. But, you know, that's what they were handed. That's the schedule they were handed, the circumstances they were handed. They got to the playoff. They had left their hometowns to go and play those games. Just going through hoops just to get it done. And I think looking back on it, yeah, it wasn't a normal circumstance for any sport. But you got to admire the people who got it and got it done and brought and what it brought for us. It brought us something to talk about every day on the station, but it brought back a bit of normalcy, you know, for us and for the country and for I think that's the part why you look at it that way. It allowed us to see something, even though we couldn't go and see it and touch it like we normally would. Right. We could at least watch it.
Well, here's the thing, and you can't do that for all the sports. So maybe it's one of those deals where it's much like noted. You look at the baseball records, and then I don't know if they actually have it in there like that, but maybe they should. That these particular years were the dead ball era. So take into consideration the records that were achieved during this time. Okay, then you look at 2020. Historians will look back and just put a mark right there whenever it was March 11th when Rudy Gobert, tested positive and it became, everything got shut down or whatever. Just say the entire year of 2020. Actually, you can't do that because there was events that took place prior to that. But my point is, if you just say these events took place during the global pandemic, then maybe you wouldn't have to put an asterisk next to them. But in some, I guess it wouldn't be necessary because, see, whether this was a pandemic or not, it doesn't affect the Daytona 500, right? It doesn't affect the Indy 500, right? They still have X amount of cars out there, and the race is the race. The pandemic doesn't, once the race starts, the pandemic has no effect on it, correct?
Correct. I mean, they do it at a different time than you normally do.
Right.
It.
The Masters champ, yeah, right. The Masters, well, again, see, so I'm saying to you that racing and maybe something else, a couple other things, they didn't have to deal with the outside elements, and so there was a chance that it didn't really affect them. But some sports had to deal with it more than others. Anyway, it was something I was thinking about, and as opposed to putting an asterisk next to everything, have another symbol, for the positive stuff. Just something to think about. We're going to wake up the commissioner, talk to Gordon Robinson, hopefully next, get his thoughts on a number of things happening in the world of sports. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Check us out on the radio.com app.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.